What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It is going to be Joe Milton with another preseason start Friday against the Atlanta Falcons on this radio station. We are your home of the Dallas Cowboys and Texas Rangers. Sean Treif, Bobby Belt with RJ on vacation. Peyton and Aiden in the back. And Brian Schottenheimer said, look, it's not like we're trying to have Joe win the job and Will Greer lose it. We need to figure out more about Joe. I would vote for Will Greer to start and play basically three quarters because I know that Joe Milton cannot be the number two to Dak Prescott right now. Who would you have it be in a perfect world, Bobby? Joe, Greer, or Dak?
For this specific game, I'm cool with Dak getting a series or two. And then after that, it can be Milton all the way. It's as long as you're not committing to, like, if it's him all the way, he's our backup. I feel like Milton is the one that does need the reps more than anybody else. And you've got to figure out what he can do and what he's capable of.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, came out with some possible names to go shopping for. Sign a free agent, option number one. There aren't many out there. Carson Wentz and Ryan Tannehill are available. C.J. Beathard spent 2021 in Jacksonville with Brian Schottenheimer. While Beathard is available, could he be quickly groomed to serve as Prescott's number two?
Beathard would be the one that, if you're going in the free agent market, makes the most sense to me because he did spend time with Schottenheimer, like it references there, so he would have familiarity with language and certain things like that. The learning curve is less. It's somebody who's been asked to spot start a few different times throughout his career, so he's used to that kind of thing. Now, the Jets just worked him out the other day as they're investigating what their options are. I think Ben DiNucci was listed as a free agent the other day, but I think he just got scooped up by Atlanta. So we're going to see the Nooch heading into this game with his upside-down Dallas hats. But to me, Beathard is the one that makes the most sense. I don't have any interest at all, personally, in bringing Carson Wentz in here.
Why?
None. Because it's just he's shown consistently, like, he's just broken between the ears. And if you need a spot start, I don't trust that he's going to be able to handle what comes with that.
Man, what a downfall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the guy that, you remember, there's the race to pay Carson Wentz because, well, we don't want to see what Dak's going to get paid. We got to pay Carson Wentz. He was... If not for that ACL tear, he was MVP. Going to win MVP that year.
Yes.
And then they go on to win the Super Bowl, and everything just changed after that.
Option two, trade for someone, but that has not gone well for the Cowboys in recent years. They sent a fourth rounder to San Fran for Trey Lance. They sent a fifth to the Patriots for Joe Milton, along with a seventh. So who would you trade for now? Lions backup Hendon Hooker. That would definitely fit the trend. It would make much more sense to call the Giants about Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston. The Browns could be interested in shipping Kenny Pickett or even Joe Flacco. The Vikings may be cooling on Sam Howell. Remember, he was a wire-to-wire starter for the Commanders in 2023. You want to have some extra fun, you could throw Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders in the mix, even though that would make me very bitter that Shedeur was sitting on the board for five rounds and you could have had him then, as I advocated for. And Adam Schefter reports, or someone reported credible, I think, it looks like the Browns are going to go into the season with four quarterbacks on the roster. Four.
When you have four, you have none, is what that sounds like. But the trade option is the guy I wonder if they'd be interested in. I don't even know if there's any availability for it. They liked Malik Willis a couple years ago.
Oh.
And he's in Green Bay now. I don't know how much he's open for this. Honestly, the guy that I would trade for in a heartbeat if he were healthy and you needed this year would be Will Levis. But the fact that Will Levis got shut down is just, that's a bummer. To me, though, like, Tennessee's clearly cooled on him. The coach you referenced earlier, Brian Callahan, doesn't get along with him. And they went ahead and picked Cam Ward. Levis would have been, if you told me I could have Levis or Milton, I would have taken Levis every day of the week because I think Levis played well in spots last year.
What about trying to get one of these holdovers on the Browns?
They Gabriel just got a third round pick used on him.
Yeah.
Shador was a fifth. You're probably going to have to match the value of what they picked minimum. I don't know if Dallas wants to give up a fifth or higher again.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the spot that they're stuck in right now. I do
You'd be giving up, what, two fifths and a fourth for Shador Sanders.
Yeah, basically. And if you look at...
That's all you'd be ending up with.
If Jaden Blue... So Jaden Blue got picked in the fifth round. If Shador were still on the board when they picked in the fifth round, I think Shador would have been a Cowboy. I think they would have taken him over Jaden Blue. But it just it never presented itself in that round, and they didn't have the fourth rounder because of the trade. So it is something where I think Shador would be fine in here as somebody you could develop. I don't know that Shador's ready to step in and play weekly snaps in the NFL either, though.
Option number three from Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com. You can wait. Rosters will be cut to 53 in a week. Someone will be available to claim on waivers or to sign as a free agent. And option four, they can hope Prescott doesn't get injured. Then again, he missed 11 games in 2020, one game in 2021, five games in 2022, nine games in 2024. They are on notice that Dak could be injured again and miss some time. Now, you have a lot of people, Bobby, say, why you guys, I got this from a few Tolos, and I think RJ would be saying it right now too. Why are you wasting so much time on this topic? Why are you discussing backup quarterback so much? Because if Dak Prescott goes down, you are screwed. Well, my answer back to that is you got to tell me how many games Dak misses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right if Dak misses 12 games, if Dak misses nine games or half the season like last year. But if Dak misses three games and we are 8-7, I need a competent, good backup to help me get into the playoffs. It's not just, oh, well, then why even have it on the roster? Like, just give Jaden Blue the backup quarterback reps and run the ball in the Wildcat. Like, we still need to try. We still need to have. Now, you don't want to give up too much. RJ would say don't give it too much for backup quarterback. And he always says, if Dak's gone, you're screwed. But not for two games. Not for three games.
Not for five. If you look at history, because he was out for five games, Cooper Rush went 4-1.
Yes.
And they ended up in the postseason. Not just that, they were in the NFC divisional round, and they started the fourth quarter tied with the 49ers. So, I mean, you're talking about if you just blow it off as it doesn't mean anything when you miss four or five games, you are potentially then sacrificing what would have been a season where you were right on the brink of potentially getting to the NFC Championship game if things go differently in that fourth quarter. And so, yeah, I think that, look, the watching cutdowns is an interesting move. That's where they got Will Greer. Will Greer was a cutdown guy that they claimed a few years back. And then Mark Sanchez was a guy that got cut by the Broncos, a veteran that they then signed a couple days later. And Sanchez didn't have to play, but routinely, Sanchez is given a ton of credit for helping Dak be stable in his rookie year and for helping to like guide him through the work and really be somebody in his ear who helped him a lot.
All right, Fantex, let me know. Pepe, tell me what name is showing up the most as we go backup QB shopping on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053.
682 says, I would personally trade for Quinn Ewers. He was low enough, you don't have to trade a lot for him because he was picked in the seventh round. Now, it's not been great for Quinn Ewers yet in Miami, but that's one of the ones. 915 was letting Rush walk a mistake.
2 years, $6 million.
Man, obviously nothing's played out yet, so they would probably say, well, we can't say anything was a mistake. Nothing's happened yet. But it feels like that would have been a fine $3 million if you're concerned. I get it though. They sunk their capital. They've sunk their capital in Joe Milton. That's who they want to develop. That's what they want to spend their money on. And every position is going to have their budgetary concerns. So it was probably too much for that. 856, Beathard can't play. Stay away. 214, Dallas isn't doing anything with Milton. Jerry's not going to admit that he's a football idiot. I don't think that they're going to like move on from Milton. That's not happening. The question is just, would they carry Milton as the third and say, you're clearly not ready yet? Because that's the thing. Everything we've seen right now is he's not ready. He's not ready to play football for you in a game. A regular season game, you might as well just chalk up to a loss if he were to go out there right now.
One guy not to listen to, and you don't have to anymore because he got fired or not retained. Remember Shady McCoy? in April after the Cowboys got Joe Milton?
I'll just be honest, man. Listen, if Dak Prescott has a postseason like he's always had, going to that next year, right? Dak, find a realtor. Because Joe Milton got talent, he can play.
Find a realtor.
No, realtor is what he said. Yeah, he's an idiot, and that's why he's unemployed, and that's why nobody asks him to do anything anymore. Shady is just I respected just how
Dak is ass,
like committed to it he was, I guess. But like I would ask people like, so wait, he's doing a bit, right? And people, no, he really believes it. Like people at Fox and stuff like that. So, no, he believes that he really thinks that way. It's like, all right, well, that's just sad then. He doesn't know football then if he thinks that Joe Milton was going to come in here and take the job. You hope Joe Milton can develop into something at some point. And he's got all the traits and all the tools to do it. It just goes to show what a huge part of the game mental processing and football IQ and all those different things are, and why an athlete isn't necessarily a football player.
Let's see. Pickett, LOL.
Fitzmagic. Oh, people want some Fitzmagic on the YouTube. 806 says Winston, Jameis Winston on there.
That'd be Choppy's dream.
972, what's Mason Fine doing? Shout out to North Texas legend Mason Fine.
Oh. Let's get a Mozzie Smith update from Brian Schottenheimer. What did you see on the tape with the film review, Bobby, of Mozzie?
Not good enough, especially against backups. It was not good enough.
Shoddy on Mozzie.
Mozzie did some good things. He did. There was a play I showed to the group today where it was a gap scheme, and Patrick, he kind of shot up the field, played attack front, and kind of fish hooked the defense, the center blocking back, and then T. Wheat looped around. It's the consistency thing. You know, what I've learned in my time is, you know, when you're a first-round draft pick or you're a high-paid free agent, there's pressure and things that comes with that. And not that Mozzie feels that pressure, but, you know, Mozzie wants to do great, and Mozzie wants to be a great player, and Mozzie can. But what he has to do is he's got to be more consistent. And that great play that I just described where he's getting his second step in the dirt and he's fish hooking the center and he's basically destroying the line of scrimmage and allowing T. Wheat to come on, that's got to be the standard. Not the, okay, I did that, and then for two plays I'm kind of not holding the point as strong as I need to. But when you tell me things like that, that means that that gets me excited because he understands that we're all in this thing together and we need everybody.
It's just been so disappointing to the point.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Because you look at him and you go, okay, he's got physical tools. It's flashed at times. Last year, you had a couple different games. If he could play the NFC East every time, he'd be great. Like the NFC East, for some reason, his games have been okay there. But it's way too inconsistent for a guy that was supposed to, entering year three, be ready to contribute in a meaningful way.
Is the G-Bag Nation about to be in Texas Rangers trouble again? PP in the Morning has the latest audio next.
A lifetime 251 hitter hitting 300, and he lines one down the left field line, hooking at the foul pole. It is gone. It stays just inside the pole. And the Royals lead it 4-1. It's their third home run of the game.
Well, congrats to Peyton Manna. He has found himself on the most toxic show on The Fan, and there's no number two.
He put together the single worst 30 minutes in live radio history.
It is PP in the Morning every Tuesday at this time, and the call you heard right there on this very station last night, Eric and Matt. The Rangers did fall to the Royals last night, 4-3. Rangers dropped to 62-64 on the season. They are now six games out of the American League wild card. Not much going for them early on. They tried to mount the comeback. They got robbed. They got robbed, Sean. The call at the plate. Jock Peterson should have been safe. Rangers fans caused a little uproar on social media last night, but they'll be back in action tonight. First pitch 6:40, pregame at 6 o'clock.
He said the call at the plate. I said that. I thought he said they call it the play. Like he was already trying to say there was lore.
I don't like what you do with him. You are no broadcasting expert with the way you talk.
I thought he just said the call. I thought he said they call it he's the
just
play.
Waiting. He's waiting. He's like the abusive verbal husband who's just waiting to jump on you when you walk in the door. You are no Edward R. Murrow, so you don't need to be laughing at anybody. And Choppy, whenever I do something and he's like, gives me this look, shut up.
Results are results, Sean.
Shut up. What?
Results are results, Sean.
Yeah.
So that tie-in
with
right
there. 07 LeBron leading the way.
Ties into our first story of the day. Look, the G-Bag Nation, they have doubled down on Rowdy Tellez. They continue to bring it up. You know, we've seen the Instagram post and all the social media posts about this Rowdy Tellez interview. That's gone viral. It really has. We played the audio of Scott Braun talking about it that Bobby loves. But Zach and Eric of the G-Bag Nation released their new song.
Yeah, let me stop you for a second. Yeah. I'm like we always do on this show, take you behind the scenes.
Uh-huh.
So this is where I thought things were. Interview happened. I thought that the guys, especially Dawson, was like feeling a little bit apologetic.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had another player on, and Atolo told me that Dawson basically told the player, hey, man, tell Rowdy we're sorry if you know him, and ask him if he would come back on. So I thought we were sitting in that space.
Yeah, we were. And then Scott Braun happened.
And then Rowdy went on foul territory.
And just, yeah, he went on.
Because like, I know Zach was like, yeah, we messed up. Zach owned it, took the accountability. I thought Chiafalo was still kind of like in defiance stage.
It's all good, broski.
and brought us just sitting back watching it all happen. But when Bobby told me yesterday after our meeting, he said, I'm sticking around. Chiafalo's coming up here. I said, for what? He said, they're working on a Rowdy song. I said, no. If Spittle finds this out, I said, Bobby, your contract is coming up. You stay far away from that. Don't do it. It's never going to make air. If Spittle finds out what Eric is working on, it's not going to air. And I guess it did.
Yeah, it's a fun play. Look, here's the thing. Initially, they messed up. They messed up when they did that interview.
We got thrown into it. Ranger Nation on Instagram like put up a series of posts. And for some reason, instead of like taking the interview from the show that did, we always catching strays for trying to be good teammates around here. We caught Dak Prescott strays for the KNC interview. And Ranger Nation put up like our show picture when they were replaying. They're playing our replay of it. They didn't like take the actual G-Bag interview. They took us recapping it. So all these numbnuts and 75-year-old ticket listeners are on the Instagram page of this baseball account cussing us out. And I'm like, whoa, it wasn't us. It's not our interview. I don't want to be involved in that.
No, yeah, and look, the initially, yeah, they were the ones, they had messed up. And I know they still will fight that. I will still say, yeah, you guys had zero awareness in that interview. It should have been better. When it's a month later and you're circling back and essentially whining about it to AJ Pierzynski right after you went, hey, Pierzynski, you look fat. You've lost the moral high ground now at this point. Now it just seems like you're kind of whining a little bit.
So let's hear the song that Zach Walchuk and Eric Chiafalo put together. And they Bobby, have it. They have it titled Fat Rangers Anthem.
And really quickly, this is a parody.
Fat Rangers Anthem?
That's what
it's titled. This is a parody of an
awful. All they're
awful
doing is giving me, they're giving us a total free pass from Spittle for the next 2 months.
This is a parody of a viral Colts fan song from like 6 years ago, but it's niche. So people may not realize this is a parody of a song.
So you can vote how good or how bad on the Frankel Injury Attorney fan text 877-881-1053. But here it is, Zach and Eric.
Funny looking.
So short.
This is our girth. This is our quake. We love him.
This is our John. This is our Jay
Burger. We love the fats.
Please wake the fats
before you have a heart attack. These are our fats. Our fat bats.
Eric, you're an insensitive jerk.
Oh, well, Chuck, go bleed yourself. You know Girthquake's badass.
Belly Bandits for life.
We love you.
man. I love it. I love it. 10 out of 10. It's amazing.
What did you have to help them with? The 14th or the 15th second?
No. He was. They were trying. It's the mixdown stuff. Look, just like Choppy, I have to ghostwrite and do all the work for him as well that you guys then give him the credit for. Similarly, I just had to go in there and he was like, hey, how do I mix this down? And so I was just helping him with the mix.
There's
so that
no
it
way Spittle
cool.
knew that that was going to be played. But once they play it, then we can play it. Those are the rules.
It was, look, it's an emotional anthem. It's very brief and to the point.
Just like reality, I thought they were starting to apologize that you're our guys, you're our boys, fat boys. You know what I mean? Like, and then bam, it comes back with the insults. God. So I'm like, where do we stand with, where do they stand with it?
We love girthquakes.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
So I don't know. You can vote on the fan.
214, that's a banger. 214, love it. Listen to that. 469, this is great. People love it.
Yeah.
All right. It is PP in the morning every Tuesday at this time, 8:20 on Tuesday. And guys, we have a new champion in the German shopping cart finale.
Wieder die Führung auch in der Show zu übernehmen.
Yeah. Yes!
100.000
yes,
Euro.
Und der ist drin!
Ja? Wichtig, wichtig, wichtig. Denn wir kommen hier langsam in die entscheidende Phase.
Germany TV with the call there. I have no
Germany
idea.
TV.
Just the entire country. Yeah. No
the Kevin
idea,
Hagler but, Network.
But Aiden has the video up on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. I gave him like 90 seconds of just, you know, the highlights of the finale there, the championship. But yes, they do have a sport out there called the Shopping Cart Return Championship. I love this. Love this idea. You know, this screams just ESPN the 8.
Now, what are they doing? Explain what it is.
So what they're doing is they have, you know, it's like, you know, basically what a parking lot would look like. You have a shopping cart and you have to push it into the return area, I guess, you know. So you have to, you're about probably, I would say 25, 30 feet away and there's a line. You can't cross the line, but you have to push it into there and make it clean, you know, clean the return car area. So they get 8 tries a piece, and it's like a shootout, basically, you know, kind of in hockey or soccer, where if you're up, you know, by 3 and there's 2 remaining, then you win by default there. But this is just, they got the gloves on everything on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. It's very intense, but I love it. I absolutely love it. And you, this girl right here, I believe, is the winner, the red pants. But I absolutely love this. This should be a sport in the U.S.
So I do this.
Oh, yeah.
You do it, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a fun game.
I feel like I could.
And you don't want to take that final like 8 steps to walk because the shopping cart return is never exactly by where you parked, at least for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's always just that pain in the ass distance.
Yeah, it's like, why is this literally directly in the middle of these two where I'm as far away as I can be from each one?
So when I line it up probably from like 8 feet away and see if I can go ahead and do it, hopefully not hitting, because that's a humongous fear, getting my car hit by the corner of one of these damn carts.
It's so great too when there's none in there, which is what they're doing. This is amateur hour. When there's ones in there already and you're trying to like push it in to where it like secures into the carts that are already pushed in there. Ugh. No better feeling. Love it.
But see, I can't trust the cart because these carts nowadays, I mean, they take a sharp left, a 90-degree right, and it's like, all I did was push it 10 feet in front. Why are the wheels that screwed up? So I have to walk up to it and push it in there. I hate, you know, if I have like, because sometimes I go to the store and just get a few items, but I get like the smaller cart. And it's like, I'm not going to be the guy that pushes that into the bigger cart there. I make like a little aisle to the next.
Now, I'm not seeing judges on this show, right? Are these just other participants, or are those actually some judges?
No, those are judges who are like walking up to the line to make sure it actually cleared.
Because okay. I think you have to make, because what they're pushing it into isn't as big as like what we push into. You know, theirs is like very, it's the exact size of the car itself. But yeah, it takes a certain talent out there. But yeah, and so you guys are you guys for or against people that like leave their shopping carts out and about? Do you think everyone should return theirs to there? Or are you fine with people leaving it? Like if it's too much of a walk, you know, they leave it wherever they park their car.
They should return it. The cart and art guy drives me up a wall. He's a pain in the ass. But I always return it. But I also think like, dude, shut up. Like that, it's not big enough to like make a big deal out of it. But yeah, you should return it. It's like you throw something at a trash can and you miss and then you don't pick it back up. You should pick it back up and throw it away.
All right, it is PP in the morning every Tuesday at this time. Last story here, guys. Text in your craziest stories because we're about to talk about a crazy ex here. Text in your stories of a crazy ex-girlfriend or boyfriend, or if it was you that, you know, did the craziness, text in as well. Those are always great stories. But this is a little story, and it was just uncalled for. A woman in Kentucky has been arrested after she totaled her ex-boyfriend's car. She did not wreck it, but instead poured glitter in the AC vents inside the car, as well as poured salt in the engine. She also cracked the windshield and did some other minor damages, cracked the radio, the rearview mirror. But those are just minor compared to the other damages. But glitter in the AC vent, I never thought of it, but it sounds very harmful to cars, I guess, if you're a car person.
So is this opening the hood? Does she have the knowledge to, like, is she pouring this in different components inside the hood?
So you're saying she, when you say that, Peyton, that, like, it got in the engine, are you saying she poured it in the gas tank and then it flowed through the engine, or you're saying she poured it directly into the engine, like, where the oil goes?
So I think it's where because she already got inside the car. She's cracking, you know, the radio and everything. She is in the car, so she can pop the hood, and she's pouring salt and all the, you know, you have different fluids up there. And so it's like, the gas tank as well, but the engine was the main part, and I guess that ruins it.
Yeah,
it does. It does pay.
I mean, I don't know, Tolo, Mike, like, what is Mike Oswald, what does glitter do inside? $12,000, I think, worth of damage?
$12,500, and she is now in jail for it.
People are trying to find this girl's info and number on the internet.
Wouldn't you want to,
what's, like, her name so people can Google search?
That's a great question.
Okay.
Wouldn't you, it's
glad
a great
you
question.
Have a story in front of you,
wouldn't
your
you,
story.
Wouldn't you want to not destroy the engine? Don't you want them to drive around, turn on the AC, and then have it all blow on them? Like, I thought that would be the point of the glitter.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to cause an accident.
Lady might.
Well, I just want to mess up their car. Stephanie Carlquist, Kentucky.
Oh.
And Will Chambers type, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Look, I mean, in order to do this, there had to be signs before this. And for him to be in the relationship with her that long, she has to look like Will Chambers type.
Now, have y'all had any crazy ex stories that you want to air out there? Or are you the crazy ex? Sometimes, you know, the shoe fits both ways, you know?
Bobby, you go.
I've never been the crazy. I haven't dealt with I've dealt with toxic people, but none of them who, like,
did something.
Yeah, I was never one that they were sorry to see go. And so they weren't like, I got to get him back.
Yeah, I think my Jeep was keyed by someone. I don't have proof, but I don't know why anyone else would want to harm me. I'm such a funny and lovely individual. Still got
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Mark on it, or did you get it fixed?
No, it's the key.
I've never noticed it.
Yeah, I had someone that I blocked figure out how to leave me a message on my Amazon Alexa.
That's insane.
Yeah. I woke up, I ignored this individual, woke up, and she, I guess, remembered, like, the DFW security code to get into my house. I woke up, stayed in the room. Yeah, I, there's been some crazy.
Hell yeah, Stephanie Carlquist. Hell yeah. And she's smiling in this mugshot,
yeah,
dude. She looks happy.
So I think, I don't know whether it was Grok or AI, they made her, like, move or, like, laugh in the mugshot. Can you just say Grok, make her move and laugh crazy?
Oh yeah, you saw what AI could do last night. So yeah, the AI will, they'll do just about anything.
PP in the morning, every Tuesday at this time here on Sean and Bobby. Choppy out on vacation, but no one can top Choppy's crazy stories when it comes to exes. Where things stand with the 53 man after Saturday's loss to the Ravens, and do we have a Micah Parsons divorce around the corner? That's next in Below the Belt, 105.3 The Fan. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Welcome to our daily 840 Adam Schefter segment that this has become this week here, which is actually Below the Belt, which is brought to you by DNM Auto Leasing and Window Nation. Thank you so much to them. This is 2 days in a row now where we've been getting ready to head into Below the Belt, and we see an Adam Schefter quote about Micah Parsons that catches our attention. And this is, yesterday was interesting. It was what he was talking about. It's like, oh, that's, Schefter's not really moving. Doesn't seem to have a lot of optimism here. But I wouldn't say it was anything that sent shockwaves or anything like that. The language he used this morning that they were just playing on ESPN is enough to, I think, send shockwaves that Schefter would use this language. So Adam Schefter was on with Chris Canty, Michelle Smallman, and what's his name? Evan something.
Cohen.
Cohen. Yeah, at WFAN. And They were talking about talking with Adam Schefter about the Micah Parsons situation, and he used some pretty ominous language in describing where things stand right now.
For all I know, the two sides decide to sit down at the bargaining table and they hammer out a deal that makes Micah the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. Could that happen? Yes. There's zero indication, zero, that that's going to happen, that there's going to be a reverse. And it sounds like at some point in time, whether that's now, after the season, after two seasons, it sounds like the two sides are headed towards a divorce.
That's significant. For Adam Schefter to willingly say publicly, this sounds like a divorce, whether not necessarily it's going to happen now, but like, you know how you can know a couple and you see the couple and you're like, they're not getting divorced now, but it's coming. And I know this break is coming. Schefter's basically telling you he's looking at this couple and going, yep, they're not long. This is not going to weather. And I can't remember him ever saying anything similar about any of these other contract situations the Cowboys have had.
Wow.
That's meaningful. And that's, I think, the important language there, the important distinction when he says whether it's a year or 2 years. Basically, what he's saying is no long-term contract. He's not saying they'll trade him tomorrow. But basically, that sounds like no long-term contract. This is what we've thought about. This is what we've talked about. The idea that if he starts this season, I think he'll show up and play is what I think will happen. And when he shows up and plays, though, I think he'll say, now that the season has started, done. We're not talking about this anymore. And so he's going to end up playing on his fifth-year option year. If he plays on the fifth-year option year, I would, if I were allowed to bet, which I'm not, if I were allowed to bet, I would put money on Micah Parsons gets dealt somewhere in the spring and that they grant the request. But he, this is what we've talked about, that he clearly, I think he wants out. This is not just a leverage play at this point. I think there is a feeling of wanting to end this.
Yeah, so like my media source hat goes on. Let's just say Schefter got this from Micah's agent.
Mm-hmm.
How do I know that this isn't like just having Schefter repeat a message that they want out?
I would think that if Schefter were just repeating a message, it would be trade us now. It would not be a year or two. A year or two sounds like he's reading tea leaves out of Dallas to me, if I'm looking at, because at that point, if it's a year or two, that you're talking about what is in Dallas's control and not in Micah's. At that point, you're talking about how long Dallas wants to drag this out with a franchise tag or have him play out the year or do whatever else. That sounds like, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but for Schefter to say the two sides are heading towards a divorce, whether it's a year or two from now, that to me sounds like Schefter's getting the sense that the Cowboys are relenting a little bit on this. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, and I also think that, you know, their arrogance is he's going to play, and I can fix this at any time. I think Jerry Jones believes he can fix any relationship through his communication and charm at any time and moment. That he can talk to Micah Parsons the day before the Philadelphia game. They can get something done and Micah will just be happy as a clam because you're making $45 million a year. Or during the season, I got 20 weeks to repair this relationship. You go out and play, you're going to get $24 million. And whenever I decide to turn on the charm, I will, and Micah will be fine. Because that's usually, it sounds like that's kind of what happens around here. If I was Dak Prescott, total guess, I don't know anything. I think there's probably like 3-5% in Dak and CD's mind that didn't forget the way it happened.
Sure, I would imagine, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, someone like Choppy, and there's a lot of people like that versus the opposite side, you eventually pay that check, like, I'm good, I'm fine. You're giving me $40 million? I love you again. But if it's me, I'm not going to forget the way you negotiated, the things you said about me, the fact that you didn't make me feel like the best player on the team. And I don't want to continue to have a long-term relationship with you.
And that's
the money, the check being written that I eventually wanted, it's not just going to flush everything that happened. That's me.
Yeah.
I always talk about morale. Like, in buildings. Whether people, there's multiple people who don't have their contracts done. There's multiple people who feel underpaid. What does that do? Does the company care about the morale? I think they should. Because that causes people not to want to take the extra effort for you. And that forges a us versus them mentality. That is what I'm worried about with the Dallas Cowboys locker room. and Micah Parsons with his teammates. That I'm worried about that. It can't be a positive. It's either going to be a no effect or negative effect. It's not going to be a positive that Mike is going through this during the year.
Yeah, and I think when you talk about probably, it's just human nature. I think it's a fair assumption to say anybody who's gone through those negotiations didn't forget it. Because again, that's just human nature to like, you'll always think back on it a little bit of like, yeah, we seem cool now. But like, you know, when it came down to it, I didn't like that. So I think it's natural to think that way. I think this one, the reason why this one is so different is because whether they are right or wrong, because we don't know, it's he said, she said, basically, at this point. But whether they're right or wrong, this is the first time the Cowboys, it feels like, have been on the other side feeling like they've got something they're not going to forget in negotiations of. You didn't honor it.
Yep.
And that's what I think is the dangerous element to this, where they might just go, okay, all right, let's play this out then. We've had our growing pains already when everything was all good, and now when it's on the line, we've got this issue.
And don't forget Stephen Jones months and months ago. Ian Rappaport wrote the recap, or NFL Network, where Stephen was like, could you kind of listen to a Micah deal?
That's not what I just said.
A Micah trade offer? Like, maybe. And he was basically talking about not wanting to invest that much money in three players, which RJ would tell you, and a lot of people would say, is not smart team building. If you traded Micah Parsons for two firsts, a second, and a third, and didn't have to pay him $45 million, there'd be a lot of Cowboy fans saying that is a smart move for depth and not tying up all this money for someone who may not show up in the biggest games, in the biggest moments, or playoff games. That is a critique inside those walls in Frisco. That is something that they talk about and wonder about.
Yeah.
His big game performances.
And even, let's say he even shows up in big games. There is still a philosophy that a lot of teams approach that say, how wise is it to pay anything that does not go towards passing the football?
Yep.
Like whether it be our quarterback, our offensive line, or our receiver, like what we want to invest our biggest amount of capital into are the guys that are going to move the football. And so now, Mike, you could say, well, he's part of the other side of stopping that. He's part of stopping the bleeding a little bit. I think that this, though, it's a hesitancy not only to pay. I think it's more about not wanting to reward in their mind what they felt like were bad faith negotiations or whatever. Again, whether accurate or not, I think that's their perspective of, this was done wrong. This was not handled the right way. We had an agreement. We had a deal. Tried to go back on it. We're not going to honor this. We're not going to reward this.
So reset what Schefter said.
Adam Schefter says that he believes, it sounds like, that the Dallas Cowboys and Micah Parsons are headed for a divorce at some point, whether it's now, a year from now, 2 years from now, that eventually they will not get a long-term deal done.
Troy Aikman and Joe Buck were discussing this saga last night on Monday Night Football.
Then the other side is, if you're Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, how do you try to win or be great without Micah Parsons?
Well, you can't be. That's his leverage. His leverage is they can't win without him. And, you know, I know injuries occur and all of that, and you go out and you play. But the defense, I mean, I do think this. I do think the Cowboys are going to be better than what a lot of people project. I saw something where, the pundits think that the over-under is 7.5 wins on the Cowboys. I think they're going to be much better than that. I think they got a chance. You know, I think I like what Brian Schottenheimer has shown in training camp and going into the year, and they've got some things that I like about the team in general. But without Micah Parsons, I just don't think they're going to be able to slow anybody down. I mean, he's a total game wrecker, and he's proven that, and he's certainly worth every penny that he's ultimately going to get paid. The longer it goes, the more money he's going to make, so I wouldn't stress too much if I was him, but that essentially is the only leverage. Now, what are the Cowboys going to do? You think I know the answer to that? I don't think anybody knows what Jerry's ever going to do.
So below the belt, once again, hijacked by an Adam Schefter update with the word divorce mentioned. Tommy Yarsh, DallasCowboys.com, will join us at 9:20 to preview the open practice tonight. Open to the Tolos, and Brian Schottenheimer says it's one of the two practices this week. He wants to see them kick each other's ass. It's a documentary Tolo Tuesday because we have the director of The Gambler, the Jerry Jones Cowboys Netflix that just dropped earlier this morning. The director of The Gambler, McLean Way, joins us on Sean and RJ on the Fan Cam, Twitch and YouTube next.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.